Okay, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me again to Matthew chapter 16. We'll read verses 13 through 18. This is our foundational text that we've been using as a jumping off point for the last seven messages. This is number 8 in the series, part 8. In the series entitled, The Church That Jesus is Building. So let's begin once again with Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are learning about this church that Jesus said that He's building. We've learned so many things about it, what His intent is, what His purpose is, who belongs in, who's not in, so many things. This is a very fundamental, foundational truth that, unfortunately, as fundamental and foundational as it is, it's sad that not more people in the body of Christ understand the things that we've been talking about. And it's important that if we are going to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish, we need to understand, and not just the leadership, not just the elders, but everybody, every member of this church, those that are here now and those that are to come in, need to understand what Jesus is building, how He's building it, what His purpose is, what His mission is, the plan, and so on and so forth. Because this is what it's all about. This is what we're left here on the earth for. This is why it'll be a lot safer. How many of you have ever heard of anybody backsliding? Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody ever seen that with anybody? You think, man, these people are going on like gangbusters, and what happened to them? Well, you know, you could prevent that if, once they're truly saved and born again, and God had a ding green light over their head, just shoot them. Hit them over the head, put them in the grave, no opportunity for backsliding. They got a home secure in heaven.
Hold them down during baptism.
Yeah, just that'd be a great opportunity. But you know, that doesn't happen. The Lord didn't say that. He's using people. He's got a job for us to do. That's why He leaves us here. That's why we don't kill folks that get saved, and that's why He doesn't immediately take them up. He thinks to Himself, I'll leave the ones I can trust down there, the rest I'll just take now. No, He doesn't do that. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. You have a purpose to fulfill, and we're getting into more of that part of the message as we go along. Okay, last week in part 7, this is just a very quick recap. Last week was the beginning of the second phase of the series, and we're talking about understanding three major aspects of the church. Last week was aspect number 1, which was mission, and we just had an overview. There are the three major aspects of the church are mission, message, and method. And when we understand each one of these as fully as God wants us to understand, or we begin to understand them, then we can begin moving towards that. So, aspect number 1, mission, last week was an overview. This week, we're going to get into it a little bit more. We're going to go to the PowerPoint slide first.
Is there a PowerPoint?
There's a PowerPoint on there as well, sorry. Michael started this, so if you don't like what we're doing here, it's Michael's fault. Michael started talking about PowerPointing and how the church needs to get better at PowerPointing, and then he had these pictures of Aaron, which is very good, PowerPointing. And then I said I had a PowerPointing slide that would trump Michael's, and I kind of dared Michael to outdo me, and I thought, being the most important, influential, powerful man, regardless of what you think of him, that's his position, him PowerPointing, how can you outdo that? And then the Lord stopped me in my tracks, and he said, I believe there is one greater. So, this is, Michael, beat that one.
at least you didn't chop my other one. So
yeah, that's right. Okay, so, Brian, that was a joke. It's not a joke that God trumps Trump. But anyway, and I just want to say here publicly, and I guess this is going on a recording as well, how much I appreciate my brother Brian being here with us this morning. He's it's a blessing. Our relationship later in life, our earlier relationship probably wasn't too much of a blessing to Brian, as he got picked on quite a bit. But I'm past that, and we're past that, and everything I hope is forgiven, and we're going forward.
So
we'll take up a collection later for therapy for Brian. Anyway, understanding three major aspects of the church. This is what we got into as an overview. The three aspects are mission, method, and method. Thank you, Ava Lee. Mission, message, and method. Okay, next slide. And this is what we started out with, that the mission is ultimately seeing the love of the Father reach the earth. And we went through the fact that the Father gave His Son Jesus, just like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And the word world is the cosmos, the inhabitants of the earth. Cosmos also can mean the system that man has created to govern themselves, but that's not what he's talking about. He doesn't love that system. He hates the system. He wants to replace it with his kingdom. But the inhabitants of the earth, that's what God loves. And he so loved the inhabitants of the earth that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we see other scriptures that go along with that, and there's many, many more. These are just examples. But the mission is to get the love of God to the inhabitants of the earth so they have an opportunity to receive the forgiveness and the cleansing and the change that can come to human life through Jesus Christ and His blood on the cross. Next slide. We see that Jesus began His mission in His earthly body on the earth. In His earth suit that He took on the form of a servant. He took on human flesh. He showed us by example. He showed us through how He taught, what He wanted us to do. And then He gave us the commission to carry on in His name when He ascended to the right hand of God the Father to ever intercede for us. And who He left behind was His disciples, who became His body on the earth. That's not a figure of speech. We really are His body. He's the head, and we are His body. So everything His physical body did as He walked the streets of Jerusalem and all throughout Palestine, His physical body, what He did there, He expects His body, the church, to do in as He has ascended. We receive our orders from the head. We respond to the head. And then we do His will. And we see, and this is what we're getting into, that the body of Christ has a twofold responsibility. One is to continue that redemptive process by reaching the world with the good news of the gospel. We'll get into that in the next segment, more than likely. I believe we'll finish the body ministry today, at least not cover everything, but cover enough so you see what needs to happen there. But we'll get into the outreach ministry. That is reaching the lost with the gospel. That's reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's preaching the gospel. That's everything that we'll get into. Now, we have another responsibility as His body on the earth, and that is to take care of one another and to minister one to another. Our physical bodies, our human bodies, they're really good about rebuilding and taking care. God put within us His healing virtue that just flows through our bodies. Even unsaved people have it, where our bodies repair, our bodies restore. It is a body that's in rebellion. Cancer is cells that are in rebellion against other cells. It's an unhealthy body that has rebellion on the inside. A healthy body repairs itself, restores itself, ministers to itself, takes care of itself. It looks out for itself. Your eyelids automatically, without even thinking about it, blink to stop injury happening to your eye. The body is a tremendous thing. And so body ministry is something that we realize needs to take place as part of what God has called us to do. So it's twofold, reaching the lost and then also ministering to the body. So we're going to look at some of this. Let's look very quickly at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. That's not in your notes. But I just want to show you this as part of the high-level view of the body's responsibility. Ephesians chapter 4. And this covers other things that we'll get into later when we start talking about... Michael, go to the next slide. Then we said that also, in addition to the body of Christ, the Lord working through the body of Christ, He's also given the local church and the church universal spiritual leadership, which is to help to equip the body of Christ, do the work of the ministry. And this is what we're getting to here in Ephesians chapter 4. And He gave some apostles, starting in verse 11, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry that we see on the far right-hand side over there. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting, or the equipping, of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, He gave these gifts here. Again, this is not subject of today's message. But He gave the fivefold ministry gifts so that the body of Christ would be equipped to do the work of the ministry by reaching the world, and to the body ministry, to have the spiritual equipment necessary to do that. And that's a twofold thing that we're all responsible for. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, talking about the body of Christ, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What's a joint? A joint is the place where two members meet. When you and I come into contact with one another in Christ, for the purpose of being used of Him to help one another, we meet together. And in that joint, there is a supply of the love and nature and the ministry of Christ that flows between us. Uh, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. How many parts is it going to take for us to be healthy as a body?
Every part.
Every part. It's going to take all of us. Which maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So there is an edifying that takes place through the fivefold ministry to the body of Christ. From God is imparting to the church the things that He wants to impart, and He imparts through this one another ministry. There is an impartation that takes place. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. We'll stop there. Okay. We're going to get into today this. We've got listed here the one another scriptures. There's too many of them to reference here. First of all, we see Ephesians 4:11, what we just read, that the body ministry, the body ministers to itself and builds itself up in love, as well as receiving input from the fivefold ministry. But we minister one to another. That's part of our responsibility. And then we see over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is a listing of spiritual manifestations that are given to profit the body withal. The tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of faith, working of miracles, prophecy, on and on. There are several gifts that are listed there. We've been through them before. Those are to be exercised by the body of Christ so that the body is built up. And then we have gifts listed in Romans chapter 12, again, that are for the edification, building up of the body, and ministering one to another. So, with that being said, let's look at these one another scriptures. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to concentrate on this. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask several of you, whosoever will, to read the scriptures as we go. That's going to do two things. It'll be more interesting to you because you hear other voices than just mine. And number two, it's going to keep you awake. It should go towards that anyway. Okay, the one another scriptures. One another. What is the meaning of one another before we get into it? So regardless of what these one another scriptures say, we're going to have, again, thank you, Michael. Regardless of what these scriptures say, what does it mean? What is the one another part? What do we have to understand ahead of time so that when we look at the one another scriptures, we understand what that actually means to us? Well, first of all, one another means one to another. It means from one to another. This is not just what it means in English. This is also what the original Greek meaning of the word also means. So we get it either way. It means one to another, from one to another. Well, that could, in itself, one to another, means it's just a one-way street. If I do something for you, whatever it is in here, but nothing ever comes back, that does still count for one to another, right? Because it's coming from one. It always starts with one, but it's never intended to stay with one. There's a deeper meaning to the scripture than just one person doing something for another. One another, when we understand the concept of one another, it not only means from one to another, but it also means reciprocally, or to respond in kind, or in a similar manner. So if we really understand the biblical definition of one to another, it's not just one person ministering to everybody else. It's everybody ministering to one another. It's everybody responding in kind. It's everybody giving. It's everybody participating. And it also means mutually, which means shared in common. That we all have this responsibility, that we all have this duty, one to another. For an example, If you take John chapter 13, verse 35, which says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Can all men know that we're His disciples if only one of us displays love? They won't look upon us and say, "They are a loving people. They have something going on that perhaps I would benefit from." If it was just one of us loving, everybody else just receiving and walking around being oblivious, then the best they could say is that guy over there or that woman over there is a loving individual. That's not what the Lord's saying through this. He's not saying that there will be an individual who loves others just like Jesus loved others. Jesus part two. He's saying that we as a whole exemplify His love. We as a whole show the world that we love, have love one to another. Everybody see that? It is not one another if it's not shared in common, or if it's not one to another with an in-kind response given when appropriate. It often begins with one, but it must ultimately be reciprocal and mutual by the others in order that the world will take note. Okay, here's where we got to really be careful. Because we understand that it needs to move to this thing being done by all of us, and we're all participating and sharing and having mutual actions toward another and doing in kind what one has done and another has done. Because we see that, we can't take the attitude, "Well, when I see everybody else doing it, I'll do my part and I'll do it too." We all have to come at it like, "It'll begin with me. If love is going to be shared, I'll continue to share it until God works on everybody else to reciprocate." Holding back and withholding, we talked about this in our series on giving, is opposite of what God does. God is a giver. In fact, He loved us when we didn't love Him, when we had no thoughts for Him and no care for Him, no desire for Him, but He first loved us. He gave first, and He continues to give. That's the attitude that we have to have. When we get into the one another, we're going to have to say whatever it is, admonish. We'll get into that in a minute. But when we admonish one another, if nobody else is doing it, I'm going to obey the Lord. And Lord, help bring this to my brothers and sisters. You're going to be blessed regardless of what everybody else does. But the true blessing is not going to happen. It's not going to be world-changing until we all participate. Okay? So don't let it stop you. Susan and I have been to visit other churches when nobody greeted us. It's not our church. It's not anybody we're responsible for. We're just visiting. And we're sitting there and everybody looks at us like, "Who are they? Where did they come from?" So we'll get up and go shake hands and hug people's necks and introduce ourselves and tell them we're here visiting and so glad to be with you. We greet one another. Should it have been that they, the people who own the house and are responsible for the ongoing ministry of that church, be the ones? Yeah, but is that going to stop me from obeying God? No. So even though this has to be something that is mutual, let's all be the catalyst. And how wrong is it to start saying, "They don't do this there"? You know what you're saying by "they don't do this"? I'm not a part of them. If they and you are two different groups, then you're not in the group. It'd be more accurate to say, "We need to improve in this area. We need to grow in this area." That's inclusive. That's saying I'm part of this group that needs to grow. But not "they need to do this, and why don't they do that?" Because you're just saying I'm not part of them. And I'd like for you to be a part of us. Come on, be a part of us. Let's we do these things. Amen? Okay. It is what we do, this one another thing. It is what we do because of, it is who we are, and we are who we are because of whose we are. You got to get that in your head. I'm doing this just like Michael was saying earlier and Eric was saying. I'm doing this because it pleases my Lord. I'm not doing this because of any other reason, but I'm loving you. I'm doing the one another scriptures to the best of my ability. That's my plan. That's my goal. Anyway, I'm doing it to the best of my ability with God's help, learning and growing and knowing that I'm going to continue to mature, but I'm doing that because I want Him to be blessed. And He's not going to be blessed if I take the attitude, well, bless God, if they were a little bit nicer to me, I'd be nicer to them. If they greeted me a little bit more friendly, I'd greet them a little more friendly. You know what happens if we have a weakness in this body? Instead of saying, I wish they would do that, say, Lord, use me to bring that to this body. Use me to help this body grow. Help the horizontal ministry in this body. I don't want to be a follower in every aspect of my life. God can use me as a leader somewhere. And if it's just in servanthood, serving one another, I can be a servant leader. I can show everybody by my example what one another ought to be doing. So as we go through this, let's don't look and see how we're all failing so much as Lord, what can I do? And how can I impart? And how can I participate? Because I know everybody else has the same heart. Everybody else. If you got the same heart to do that, raise your hand. I'm not asking if you're perfect. If you've got the same heart, raise your hand. Take a look. Look around. Everybody got their hand up. Thank you, Malachi. Okay. So, in order to get there, we're all going to have to realize that there's probably areas in this as we go through it that we have weaknesses. We're going to probably find areas of strength. I went to a conference. In fact, Jason went to the same thing, a men's conference at a church in Grand Prairie. We got there, and it was before the thing was to start, and men were walking up from the parking lot just as we got. And there were men that were participating in that conference that were from that church. And they were coming up, and they were welcoming us and lovingly greeting us. They just walked past us. We don't know them, so we're not talking to them. They came over, they greeted us. Could we get you anything? You need any water, any coffee? I mean, just an outpouring of love and care. And I thought, regardless of whatever other things that this church has right or wrong, one thing that they're strong in is their hospitality. They have been taught well. There's an impartation that's taken place in that body, and they know how to be hospitable to one another. What a wonderful thing. You know, they may have other things that they're weak in. They may have other things that they're sinning in. But they've learned that part. We have some people that we know. Got to be careful. There's some children in this family that nobody here. There's children in this family who got a lot of issues. Oh, a lot of issues. They watch junk on TV. They watch horror movies. They watch stuff kids shouldn't watch. They talk about stuff kids shouldn't talk about. They got all kinds of things going on, but I guarantee you one thing. If you take them out to lunch, they'll thank you four or five times. If you give them anything, piece of gum, they'll thank you four or five times. They're the most thankful, grateful people. I think I know. Where'd they get that from? Somewhere that was a value that was taught to them and they understood. So we do have strengths and we do have weaknesses. And all I want to say is, let's get stronger in our strengths and let's get stronger in our weaknesses. Let's just get stronger. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So let's begin. The rest of this day is going to be going through these one another scriptures. And we'll just read around the room. I would ask that you read very loud so that it does end up as good as possible on the recording. But we'll start with these one another scriptures. These are scriptures that actually reference the term one another or one to another or have that in there somewhere. That doesn't mean that there's not other responsibilities that we have one to another, but these you definitely couldn't argue. You definitely cannot argue with these because they actually state one another. So as we go through this, realize that there's probably other things besides this, and this is going to be a plateful right here, but there's probably many other things, there definitely are many other things in the Scripture that we're responsible one to another. Well, let's read. Under the heading of admonish, to admonish means to warn, to caution, to put in mind. So, under the heading of admonish, some of these scriptures will say admonish, others will just mean admonish, but they all have one another. Let's look at these scriptures. And I'll read the first one, and then we'll go from there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now remember, the basic principle that we're going to keep through all of this, everything that we read, is I'm responsible for this. In fact, say after me, I'm responsible for this. Whether nobody else is doing it or not, I'm responsible. Say this after me, I can be a leader. Even in a small area, praise God, I can lead. Right? Don't shy away from responsibility. You criticize everybody else for having their and exercising their responsibility. Why not step up to the plate and be a little bit responsible yourself? Now, I didn't say that for you. I'm talking about for other people I know. Okay. So, I'm responsible to admonish. I'm responsible to warn. I'm responsible to bring to mind that you ought to love and do good works. Just as, so if I see you, I'm not going to make comment on every scripture, but I'm just laying some groundwork here. If I see you or anybody else who's not behaving in love and in good works, then I need to provoke you to that. I need to encourage you. I need to prod you. I need to get you going in that area. I can't let you stay there. I can't say, well, that's just how Katie is. You know Katie. And Katie's not like that, by the way.
But that is what I've often said. Not of Katie.
Oh. Thank you for clearing that up. Yeah.
No expectation of change, hope, or growth.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm in relationship with you, which we are, but whoever I'm in relationship with, I have a responsibility, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to expect the best of you. That means if you're not where you ought to be, I'm not going to assign you you've reached your maximum point. I'm going to believe that you can get better. I'm going to believe that God has more in store for you. I'm going to believe that you're worth hanging on to, that you're worth investing in. Let me just ask this. Can y'all do the same thing for me? Can you just say, you know, he's worth hanging on to. He's worth investing in. He's worth loving. There's something, he's not fully polished yet, but, you know, there's something there God just might use. If we all had that about one another and then tried to encourage that out of one another, how much better off would we be? Okay, like I said, I'm not going to comment on every scripture, but let's go through it. Susan, we'll just go front to back here.
Romans 15:14. And that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
I believe you're able to admonish one another. Well, that's Brother Jason's job to take care of that. Michael should do something about that. Brother Steve, he's the oldest and ugliest. He definitely should do something about that. No, I'm believing that you're all able to admonish one another in love. Because you all love and care for one another. Okay, next. Vera, do you want to read? Okay.
Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay. Next. Okay. The next category of scriptures is to agree with. Now, again, there is much, much, much more in the scriptures concerning us being in agreement with one another. I did a series on that. Many scriptures, but these particular ones have the one another words in it. And Brian, you want to read?
Sure. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits.
Okay, thank you.
Eric? Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus.
Okay. We're responsible to agree with one another and work towards agreement. When we don't have agreement, you know this phrase, well, let's just agree to disagree. We could do that on 100% of things. Just agree to disagree. What does that ultimately mean? We perhaps don't agree on anything. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So agreement is powerful. And agreement, well, there's even a prayer of agreement. When we agree together, that the Lord moves on our behalf. Agreement is powerful. We need agreement. And when we don't have it, we need to realize it's something we have to work for and not just give up on. Paul Randerson and I didn't like one another very much in the beginning because I didn't understand him and he didn't understand me. We worked past that. Intentionally, we worked past it. And I realized, what a dear brother that I have in him. And the reason I didn't agree with him was because I didn't understand what he was saying. He was saying it in a way I didn't get. And there was a level of knowledge that I hadn't attained to yet. And he misunderstood some of the things I was saying. What a tragedy it would have been if I would have just said, I don't agree with him, and just walk away. We came to an agreement. And that's what we all want to strive for. Jennifer?
Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Okay, this is the next category of care for. So to bear one another's burdens. Don't let somebody just go through something on their own. Don't walk through things on your own. Don't be sick on your own. Don't be out of food on your own. Don't be homeless on your own. Don't have relationship problems on your own. Let's care for one another. Okay, next. Okay. No divisions in the body. And we care for one another. All right. The category of comfort. Craig?
Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do.
Okay. You want to read? Thank you.
Wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Okay, comfort one another. Man, we shouldn't have the kind of relationship that I can't stand to see you come and I can't wait to see you go. There's no comfort in that. And you shouldn't be thinking that about me either. Eric. we need to bring comfort. We need to know that even if being told something that is uncomfortable at the moment, that it ultimately brings comfort. You know, digging a sticker out of your foot isn't very comfortable, but it's a whole lot more comfortable once it's done. So that's the kind of relationship we need to have. Edify, Jason.
James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge.
Katie?
1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do.
Okay. Some of the scriptures you'll see have been used in other places because of the one another aspect. It's talking about two different categories, and so some of these may be repeated for the other category's purpose. Okay, my turn again. Did I leave anybody out? Do you want to read this next time around? When we get to you? I'll ask you in a minute. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify one another. What does edify mean?
To build up.
To build up. How easy is it to tear something down?
It's easy. It's the easiest thing to go. That's why vandals tear things down. Vandals never build up.
No, because it's easy. It's easy to run. It's easy to tear a building down. I was hired for a demolition job in Mansfield. So a guy just wanted some guys that were strong as an ox and almost as smart, and I fit the bill for that, to tear down a wall in one of the downtown buildings in Mansfield. Man, that wall came down easy. I couldn't have put that wall up. I didn't even have, even if I had months to do it, the wall came down in several hours. It was a big wall, but it came down in several hours. All of us boys who were tearing that wall down, none of us, even working together and even with months to do it, could not have built that wall, but we could all tear it down. And I dare say, kids Malachi's age could have torn that wall down. It would take them a little longer, not as strong, but they could have done it. It's easy to tear down. It's very difficult to build up. And to go around tearing other people down, tearing down what you see coming out of a body of believers, out of individuals, for no reason, you're not really with the purpose of then building something else. You're just tearing down. You get that heart to tear down. Anybody can do that. Don't pat yourself on the back. You've done what any child could do. But building up, that takes somebody that's got some skill, got some knowledge, got some maturity. Amen? Okay, Susan?
Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Exhort one another daily while it is called today. What does exhort mean? This is another category, exhort.
Build up.
Encourage. Exhort. I'm going to exhort you to do that. You're not really wanting to do it. You're kind of maybe a little bit fearful. You're kind of seeing that it may cost more investment than what you really want to do. But I see and others see that that's where you ought to go. You've even said yourself before, I'd like to do that. Well, now's your opportunity. Go. Step out. Exhorting. Okay, forgive and forbear is the next category.
Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
What does it mean to forgive? It means I release you from my judgment. I release you. I'm not going to be tied to you in that issue. I release you. So does that mean that God's not going to judge them? No, it doesn't mean that. God may judge them for what they did. But I'm not going to stand as judge, and I'm going to back off, and I'm going to release you and let God do what God wants to do, and I'm not going to stand in God's way. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. You can't have a good marriage without forgiveness. I don't care. She's the best woman I've ever met in my life, the most godly woman I've ever met in my life. But I have had to forgive her a couple times. And she's had to forgive me about a billion. You can't have a good marriage without forgiveness. You can't have a body of Christ without forgiveness. Okay, Colossians 3:13. Avery, do you want to read that one or not? Okay.
For bearing one another and forgiving one another if any man has a
quarrel. It means an argument.
Against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you.
Very good. Thank you. Liam, do you want to read? No? Okay. You don't have to. Gather together. This is the next category.
So it's Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye shall see the day approaching.
Okay, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That means coming together as the assembly. Don't forsake that. When you have a called meeting, and the elders call the meetings, and we have one meeting a week that's a called meeting, don't forsake doing it. Does that mean I can't ever go visit my family? No. Does it mean I can't go visit my son in prison? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means whenever I have the choice of either staying home and having a pity party or going and getting ministry, I'm going to go get ministry. I'm not going to stay out and keep away because of personal reasons. I'm going to do everything I can to be there. And let me just say this. When you do have something going on, and most everybody's really good at this. I think everybody is. But just for people listening online, if you're part of a church and people love you and are expecting you to not forsake the assemblies yourselves together, and you have something that you need to do that causes you to forsake it one week, just let somebody know. Let the elders know. Let someone you're real close so that they can say, please let everybody know I won't be there today. My grandma passed away and I got to go to the funeral. Just let us know so we're not... Everybody knows, and we can pray for you, and so on and so forth. It's just common courtesy. You'd do that in a family. If you were expected to be at a Thanksgiving dinner, and you just don't show up, and nobody knows where you are, that's not being courteous to everybody else. That's not showing love to everybody else. Just to let them know. Brian was come over to my house last night. He stayed with us, had dinner, stayed with us. I got about 6 or 7 texts from him. I'm leaving here now. I'm leaving here now. I'm going here. I'll be there. Now I'm doing this. And I appreciated that. You know, I didn't have to wonder, what happened to Brian? He got killed on the road? You know, it's just being courteous. Thank you, Brian. Okay, next.
Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Okay.
Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
I don't know how that got into the together part, but we are. Okay.
1 Peter 5:14. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Okay, this is greeting warmly or making welcome category.
1 Corinthians 16:20. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss.
Romans 16:16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute.
That's right. Churches of Christ salute you. Very good.
Romans 15:7. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
Okay. Now, let me just say, we went through these one another scriptures several years ago when we were meeting in our house. And you'll probably, those of you who were there then, will remember talking about this. But the holy kiss part, I wouldn't get hung up on that. Number one, I don't for certain know what a holy kiss is. So I'm not going to hold you to that. I don't know if it's a kiss on the lips, a butterfly kiss with your eyelashes. I don't know if it's a kiss on the cheek. I don't know if it's a kiss on the hand. I don't know what it is. But what I do know that this means is whatever the warmest form of greeting is in our culture, we should use that. And we should be aware of other things in the midst of this. I will generally greet with a hug. If my brother-in-law in England, Wesley, does not like to be hugged, usually a person in that situation, I wouldn't hug him just to respect him. But since he's my brother-in-law, I hug him just to irritate him. But if I knew somebody didn't really want to be hugged, I can sense that, I wouldn't do that. But I would greet them as warmly as I possibly could. It's not like, oh, you know, we don't ignore one another or pretend like one another is not there. We ought to look happy to see one another. Just think if we had two more people missing this morning. You know, really, we played football over in England when I was in my late 30s. I played on a kind of a semi-professional team. And all the people that played paid to play. They took time out of the week. They even went and lined the fields on the Saturday before playing on the Sunday. You know, when you put that much investment in, you even appreciated your opponents. When they showed up, you think, oh, thank God we got a game today. You know, we ought to think that about one another, you know. Yay, Eric and Jennifer showed up today. I'm so glad they're here. We're not going to be a family down. If we had hundreds of people here, we still ought to have that same sort of feeling. Man, there's so many people here, I don't have a chair. Praise God. Anyway, we greet one another. We're exciting. We're excited to see one another.
Let me show you guys how to kiss
this. Susan can do some things I can't get away with. And we're all good with that, right? Okay, next. Have fellowship with, next. And what does fellowship mean? Two fellows in the same ship. It's sharing together in common. Having fellowship is sharing an experience in common. Well, we make it an on-purpose decision to share with one another, whether it be food, whether it be activity, whether it be work around the church building, whether it be just talking and talking about the good things of the Lord, fellowship, sharing in common. Whose turn? Is it mine again? Okay. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This goes back to what I was saying earlier in this series, about we can't have peace with people who are going in a different direction, whose lives are contrary to the will of God, and we're walking with God and they're going directly opposite. We're going to have fellowship if we walk in the light as He is in the light. That's the only way we can have true fellowship with one another. So when we meet other believers that are walking in light and not on purpose walking in another direction, we can have fellowship. Okay, honor and esteem is the next category.
Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another.
Okay. This one has several verses, so we'll just read straight through these without any comment. I believe we can all see very clearly what the Lord is saying in these passages. And this category is love.
1 John 3:23, and this is His commandment, that we Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandments.
Are you ready? You want to read the next one? Okay.
All right, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
And unfeigned means not pretended.
1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another.
John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another.
John 13:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
You sure he didn't say, this is my suggestion? Was it a commandment, really?
What?
Did he really say commandment there? Read it again.
No, it says command,
it doesn't say suggestion? Read it again.
No, it says
command. She got it right. It says commandment. Okay.
John 15:17. These things I command you, that you love one another.
1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound you in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you.
1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching or concerning brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Okay. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Okay. Okay. Mackenzie wants to read one, and I'm glad of that. We're talking now in this category of ministering to. And to minister just basically means to serve. So anybody who is a minister, that's a servant. Someone who's dedicated their life to serving. We all should have that responsibility. Okay? Grudging. Yeah, that's like being upset that I have to do this. Oh, Brian's coming over. Oh. Okay, Avery, you want to read one? Okay.
1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
John 13:14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet.
Okay, I'm of the persuasion that once again that was a culturally relevant act of service. I'm not against people washing feet in church buildings today. I think it can be a very humbling and a very blessed thing if God tells you to do it. And do so if God tells you to do it. I believe the Lord moved upon Michael one time to wash Vera's feet. And that was Michael responding to the Lord. And the Lord will do that. But I really believe that it's just as relevant to go wash somebody's car for them as to wash their feet. It's doing something for them that is taking upon a form of a servant and showing that I'm humbling myself in doing this task, which isn't a executive position, and I'm serving. So the washing of the feet can be actual, in my opinion. If I'm wrong, the Lord will show me. But I really believe it's washing of feet when the Lord tells you to, but being Just because you're not washing other people's feet doesn't mean you can't mow their lawn, you can't cook them dinner, you can't do other things to serve them in a way that's meaningful in today's culture. Okay?
Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Okay, the next category is praying for.
James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Again, it doesn't say the effectual fervent prayer of a pope avails much, or of a man in charge of a church of 30,000 avails much. Someone really important and has written 17 books. This is a righteous man or woman. Each one of us have the ability to pray and believe God to hear our prayers. And to pray one for another. And that prayer of a righteous person who believes God is going to avail much. Okay, the next category, submit to or be subject to.
1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble.
Ephesians 5:21,
submitting yourselves
to one another in the fear of God.
1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God and Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality.
Okay. Go back, Michael, scroll back up a little bit, right there. The verse that Abby read, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. In the fear of God should be a part of everything that we do. Why do we do it? Because we fear God. We love Him. We respect Him. We honor Him. Just like was already talked about this morning several times. We do what we do because that's the motivation of our lives. Why do we love one another? Why do we pray for one another? Why do we do any of these things? Because it makes me feel good? No, it may make me feel uncomfortable. But I've learned as I get older, things in life feel less and less comfortable. You know, sometimes even getting up out of your chair doesn't feel comfortable. Am I going to stay in it all day? No, I'm going to get up. We don't do things just because it's comfortable. We do things because it's right. Okay, the last category.
Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children.
Let's talk about the older women doing that. Hebrews 5:12, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And Susan, last scripture.
Colossians 3:15. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay. Now, one of the reasons why I printed this out instead of just having it on the screen is because I wanted you to be able to take it home with you. I want you to, and I'm asking you to do this, put this in some place that you can get to it easily, maybe fold it up and put it in your Bible, put it somewhere. I want you to review this. Remember, this is one of the two main reasons you're left here on this earth. One we'll get into next time, that is reaching a lost and dying world with the good news of the gospel. This is the second aspect of ministering one to another so we have the strength to do the other. This is, you're put here on this earth to do this above, shine as an NFL star. You're put here on this earth to do this above building the biggest house in your community, driving the best car, having loads of money, anything else you can think of, tons of children. If the other things in life keep you from doing this, you've got to reevaluate. This is what we're here for. This and the other aspect of reaching the world. This is serious. This is something that we can't say, that's what the holy people do. I'm just a nominal Christian. There's no such thing. The world is going to be reached when the body of Christ, rank and file, are doing their job. We're all doing our job. We don't have paid assassins. We don't have those who are really, really good at being Christians and everybody else just being thankful for us doing it. Let's all just applaud Michael because he's a really super Christian, and I'm glad to be in a fellowship where we have a super Christian. No, he is a super Christian, but so are you. We all have a duty to do. And when it comes to the one another scriptures, we all share in this responsibility. Mutually, reciprocally, and just as fully as we can do. We're going to grow. There's probably things in there you look at yourself, I don't teach much. What do? I thought the teachers teach. I thought Brother Steve and Jason and Michael do that. No, we're all called to teach in some way. If you know something somebody else doesn't know, then don't sit on it. It's not an egg. It's not going to hatch. Share it. That's how I got into ministry to start with. Number one, I heard the voice of the Lord call me. And number two, I kept having this feeling on the inside, other people need to know this. Other people need to hear this. God is speaking to me about things. And I was excited. I won't tell somebody. I got less excited later when I found out that not many people wanted to hear. But, you know, it still didn't totally quench the fire burning in me. It might dampen it a little bit, and I go away with little smoldering embers, and, you know, my fire has gone down. But I pray and seek the Lord, and all of a sudden it gets hot again. Man, I got to tell people about this. And that's how my life has been. I just want people to know. That's what I'm doing here. I just want everybody to know what I know and love Jesus the way I love Jesus and have everything that I have and even more. So when we see things in here that maybe we're not strong at, we're not to pick and choose the ones we feel the most comfortable with. This whole list is my list. Let me hear you say that. This whole list is my list.
Is my list.
And Jason's list. And your list. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what you're showing us. We thank you for what you're imparting into us. Lord, I pray that we would not ever lose sight that we have many responsibilities, many aspects of responsibility one to another. Lord, help us to get beyond ourselves. Help us to get beyond the fear that would hold us back and the feeling of inadequacy and all the other things that would be excuses. And help us, Lord, to truly have this one another experience so that we can truly be able to do the work of the ministry as we go forth into the world and preach your gospel. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.